Welcome to the Skokie Colo Podcast. Here you can listen to recent shiurim given by members of the Colo and special guests who spoke at the Colo. For older shiurim, open the Learn tab above and select Audio Archive.
Hello, my name is Dovi Turkeltaub, and I'd like to share with you a Devar Torah on Parshas Chayisara. As we know, the Parsha of Chayisara is known as the Parsha of Shidduchim. And Avram sent Eliezer to go find the Shidduch for Yitzchak. Just looking at the story how Eliezer found the Shidduch for Yitzchak, we all know someone that is looking for a Shidduch. I think we can take comfort how every detail of the story was orchestrated by Hashem. And really, we have to believe that even though sometimes it's hard, but Hashem has His plan to find each and every person their shidduch. So we'll discuss a few little details of how we see the Yad Hashem in that took place in the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. Came to Laban and Bisuel's house, and they were discussing the shidduch. So the pasuk teaches us in Perich of Dalad pasuk Nun, Vayan Laban uBisuel. Laban and Bisuel answered Eliezer, Vayomru maHashem yotza hadavar. This matter came from Hashem. Lo nuchal daber lecha ra yitov. We can't say to you neither bad or good. So Rashi explains over here that it was both Lavan and Bisuel that answered Eliezer, because Lavan was a Rasha, and he did something that is unimaginable. He jumped in front of his father, and he gave the go-ahead in place of his father. So it was Lavan uBisuel. Lavan first gave the go-ahead for the shidduch. And the pasuk says, Hine Rivka kach v'leich. Here's Rivka, before you take her and go. Uti isha levena deinechot, should be a wife for the son of your master, kasher dibar Hashem, like Hashem had spoken. And the rest is history. Yitzchak ended up marrying Rivka. But the question is, we know that Lavan was a trickster. And here we find, without tricking Eliezer, all of a sudden he just gave in to the shidduch at once. We find when it came to Yaakov, he tricked him 10 times. But here, when it came to Eliezer, he says, Hine Rivka lefanecha kach v'leich. Here, take her and go. We don't find that this same trickster made any trickeries. So the question is, why didn't he make any trickeries? So let's analyze the story of what took place, and we can see how Lavan, the trickster, was backed into the corner and wasn't able to make any tricks. So the pasuk says, before v'yasim lefanecha lechol, he gave him food to eat. Chazal teach us that it wasn't food that he gave, he put poison. And the idea was, someone that came with money to the house, you poison him, you kill him, you get rid of him, and you take his money. And that's what Lavan wanted to do to Eliezer. He didn't place food before him, he placed poison. He was hoping that right away, he's going to eat the food, and they won't be able to talk about the shidduch. But what happened? Eliezer said, I can't partake in the food. Lo uchal adim debarti dvarei. I'm not going to eat until we discuss the business. He says, first let's discuss the business of the shidduch, and only after we discuss the business of the shidduch, then I'll partake in the food. So now, here, the food is waiting, and Lavan is waiting for Eliezer to take part of the food. Now, Lavan wants so badly that Eliezer should eat from the food. He can't tell him anything why he wants him to eat in the food so badly. So therefore, he doesn't want to spend time talking about the shidduch. He wants to quicken up the story as quick as possible in order to get Eliezer to eat the food, kill him, and then he can take the money. There's one little problem that they didn't realize, that the malach came and switched the plates, gave Bisuel Eliezer's plate, and gave Eliezer Bisuel's plate. So when Eliezer came to eat, his food was not the one with the poison. It was Bisuel who was poisoned, and it was Bisuel that got killed. So the reason why they hurried up to agree to the shidduch was not for any good intentions, was for the reason, let's hurry it up, to get Eliezer to eat from the poisonous food. But then the question still remains. Now that Bisuel is gone, Lavan can say, I didn't agree to it, it was my father that agreed to it. And my father's now dead, so now the whole deal is off. Let's make another trick. Let's get back to the bargaining table again. But now here we see how Hashem orchestrated something that makes absolutely no sense. What does the pasuk say? V'yan lavanu b'suil. Lavan himself, in his eagerness to get things rolling, to get Eliezer to eat the food, Lavan answered first. So Lavan already, in his eagerness, he's the one that answered that the shidduch should take place before his father got poisoned. So we see something that absolutely doesn't make any sense, that the child should answer in place of his father, was there to serve as a refuah before the makkah, as the antidote before the solution to get out of it. Because the fact that he was that chutzpinyak, he did something so chutzpidik that he answered in place of his father, then when ultimately his father died, he did not have that ability to go and back out on the shidduch. So we just see a few little glimpses how when a shidduch is going to take place, the whole world can turn over. You can be involved in a lavan. But if Hashem wants that to happen, v'atzas Hashem yisakim, there's nothing that can stop Hashem from going with the shidduch. But the question still remains, why did he act that chutzpidik way? Because he thought by acting chutzpidik, Eliezer will say, this is the family that Rivka grew in? There's no derech eretz. Look at this child. The child's answering in place of his father. And he was hoping that way Eliezer wouldn't do the shidduch. But in the end, he didn't stop the shidduch. And what he thought would be the breaking of the shidduch was actually what caused the shidduch to go through. So just a little glimpse of the parsha of the shidduchim. And my bracha is, we all know people that need shidduchim. And everyone should find the right shidduch and believe that Hashem is a master plan for everyone. Have a great, great Shabbos.
Hi, my name is Ari Sendek, and it's my zechus to share with you a brief Devar Torah for Parshas Chayesara. After Eliezer arrives back home with a wife for Yitzhak Avinu, the pasuk says in Perachov Dalar pasuk Samich Gimel, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada. Yitzchak goes out. Lasuach, Rashi says, means Lashon Tefillah, to daven Lifnos Erev, as the day was ending. Yitzchak here was established in the Tefillah of Mincha. Vayisa Einav, he lifts up his eyes, Vayar, and he sees Vihine Gemalim Baim, their camels coming. As we know, the three Shemona Esrei that we daven over the course of the day were established by the Avos. Arvim Avinu Davin Shachris. Yitzhak Avinu here in this pasuk is establishing the Tefillah of Mincha. And Yaakov Avinu established the Tefillah of Mariv. But the Gemara in Brachos and Dav Ches says that from these three Tefillos, be very careful with Mincha. That the Tefillah of Mincha can be answered more. After all, Eliyahu Hanavi, in his battle with the Nevi'e HaBaal, the pasuk tells us, was answered at Mincha time. The Kli Yakar on our pasuk says that we can learn from our pasuk as well that Mincha can be answered more. Yitzhak established Mincha. The other Avos, Avram and Yaakov, established the other two tefillos. They're pretty great as well. But says the Kli Yakar, we don't see that they were answered right away. Miyad. Yitzhak, here he is probably davening for his zivug, for his mate, as Eliyahu was on the road. And he was looking down, and as he looked up, the pasuk says, right away, his tefillos were answered, and there is Rivka. But why is it that the tefillah of Mincha is answered more than the other two tefillos? So the Kli Yakar himself does address this, and he writes a more esoteric reason of the difference between day and night. He writes that Midas Haddin Mekatei Dafka V'Layla. Midas Haddin, Hashem's judgment, is specifically at night, or to a greater extent at night. And therefore, Mariv, which is very close to night, and Shachrit, which follows immediately after night, are close to this time of Din. When it comes to Mincha, or afternoon Tefillah, it's further away from Din. Vitur, however, in Simon Reish Lamed Beis, at the beginning of the Halachos of Tefillas HaMincha, also addresses this question of why is it that we should be more zahir, more careful, when it comes to Mincha. He writes, V'hatam, the reason is, because Shachris, Zman Yadua, we know when it is. Baboker, Bukumo Mimitaso, Mispal Miyad. You get up, you go to Davin. before you're busy with work. Kodem shiutara ba'asakov. The same thing with Mariv. We know when it is. When you come home, v'hu pani me'asakov. Again, you're free from your work that you're busy with. Aval shel mincha, when it comes to mincha, shehi be'emtza hayom, which is in the middle of the day, ba'od shehu tora ba'asakov, while you are still busy with your work, or whatever it is that you are busy with, tzarek lasumosa alibo, you have to take it to your heart, ve'lifnos, to turn away, mikol asakov, from everything you're dealing with, and to daven. And if you do that, scharo harbe ma'od, your reward is great, and that is why mincha is answered more. I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, nothing is a coincidence. But it's for sure part of the Chachma of Hashem that he timed it this way, that we read the Parsha of Chayei Sarah on the same week that we changed the clocks. You see, this is the first week where the only way you could daven mincha with a minyan, if you work a 9-to-5 job, is if you use your lunch break for mincha. Not always so easy. You might be in the middle of a big task. You might be undergoing a lot of inconvenience to have your break at that specific time every day. But let us learn these lessons about the power of tefillah of mincha, and not only that, the power it could have for our entire day if we have that reminder in the middle of the day. Who are we working for, and why are we working? Hopefully together we'll all put in that effort, and through this winter season, try every day to be Talmidim of Yitzhak Avinu, and be careful about tefillas ha-mincha. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Shalom Aleichem, everyone. This is Eric Goldman, and it is my honor and pleasure to share with you words of Torah for Parshas Chayei Sarah. Earlier this week, my son was playing with what's called a perplexus. If you don't know what it is, it's a round ball approximately the size of a basketball, let's say. It's a clear outside casing, and inside is a three-dimensional maze with a little tiny ball that you have to turn and guide through this three-dimensional maze. It takes a lot of dexterity, a lot of patience to sit there and rolling the ball around to get the little marble inside to go exactly through the maze that it wants you to get through. My son got it for his birthday recently, and he's been spending a lot of time on it. One night this week, he was doing very well. He had gotten very far in the maze. And then my wife asked him to go do something right before bedtime. And so he took the ball very calmly, very gently. Baruch Hashem, he listened to my wife right away, and he puts it down on the floor, and then he stands up, and then as he's moving away, he kicks it with his foot and knocks the ball off. Now he has to start from the beginning. And I'm watching it as he takes his fists and he clenches his face, and he says, "Oh, come on!" And in that scene, I saw myself. And I said it to my wife right away, that was me. Because when I'm in those types of situations, when I'm playing a game, when I lose a game, when I make a mistake, I do the same exact thing. I clench my fists and say, "Oh, come on!" And I saw it clearly as if I was looking in a mirror. Parshas Chayei Sarah is a fairly long parsha because many of the psukim are repeated. And Chazal teach us that the entire story of Eliezer Eved Avram, Eliezer the servant of Avram finding a wife for Yitzchak, is repeated. Why? Because Chazal teach us, Yafes sichason shel avdei batai avos mitorason shel banim. The speech, the talking of the servants of the avos is more important than the Torah, the halachas of the future generations. And this is a concept that's been elaborated on by so many of the Baalei Machshava in explaining that the way we give over to the future generations, the way we teach other people, the way we teach our families, the way we teach students, is not necessarily through our words. That's just giving over information. And it's an important part of chinuch, to be sure. But the much deeper part, the much more impactful part of chinuch, of teaching in any scenario, is how we ourselves are acting. What do we do in those scenarios? What is the emotions with which we are giving over the information? A Rav can get up in front of a shul, in front of a Beis Medrash, and give the most inspiring words, but if he doesn't feel them in his own heart, it will not reach another person. As Chazal teach us, Devarim hayotzim in halev, what comes out of my heart, nechnasin el halev, will be able to reach someone else's heart. because it's only that which I live by, only the lessons that I incorporate into my life, I am then able to give over to other people. But if it's not something that I do, and it's just words that I'm saying, then it doesn't count for anything. And it doesn't have the impact that we want it to have. The Torah repeats the entire story of Eliezer to teach us that this is how we have to act. And it could have taught us straight halachas, but learning it from a source, from an example, has a much greater mark into our lives. As a famous saying goes, our children will learn by what we do and not from what we say. The Gemara relates that Kimchis had 7 children who ended up being Kohanim Gedolim. And the Gemara wonders, why was she zoche to such a tremendous reward in this world? And the Gemara explains, because the walls of her home never saw her hair. And it's a very interesting way of formulating the fact that she kept a halacha. She kept the halacha of tznius, of keeping her hair covered. But why say it as if the walls of her house never saw her hair? And I believe it's because of this very same idea, that the Gemara is relating to us that it wasn't that simply that she kept the halacha, but that she lived the halacha. And the walls of her house, the environment, was such that her children internalized the level of tznius that she herself had. And so that tznius that they were able to internalize in their lives ended up being able to be manifested on the deepest levels by being zoche to serve in the most holiest place in the world, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Beis HaMikdash. And it was because their mother taught them, not by just giving over words, but by living the life, by being an example, because that's the way we teach children. As I've mentioned a couple of times in the past, I work with the organization called TAG, the Technology Awareness Group, and I have the ability to speak to many teenagers and also many adults about how smartphones and social media and technology in general is impacting our lives in today's day and age. And one of the most fascinating trends that I found was after hearing from so many adults and so many parents about kids these days. Oh, the kids these days, they never pick up their head from the phone. They're just looking down on their phone. They only text each other. They don't call. They don't go outside. They don't play. They don't interact with each other. Oh, kids these days. But then when I started speaking to the teenagers, you know what I heard? My parents. They never look at me. They never talk to me. They never pay attention to me. And even a couple of times, teenagers have told me that they are afraid to be driving in the car with their parents because their parents are busy on their phones texting. And as the adults, as the parents, we have to understand for ourselves, our children will learn from our examples. I can give my child all the threats I want. If I dare see you texting while driving, you will never be allowed to drive again. But if my child sees me texting while driving, then I can't expect them not to be doing that. And if my child sees me taking out my phone during dinner time, or having my phone right up until Shabbos and the second Shabbos is about to start, I put it away, then why should I expect my child to be any different? Our children will learn by our examples. Yafa sichasan shel avdei basei avos. That it's the sicha, it's the speech, it's the way they acted. That's what's so crucial in our learning about the laws of the Torah. One of our rabbeim from Eretz Yisrael once told us that a friend of his once went to visit their Rebbe. After they were married for a few years and they were living in the middle of nowhere community doing some kiruv work, and he came back to their Rebbe to have a meeting and to check in to see how things were going. And our Rebbe told us that his friend came out of that meeting visibly shaking. And our Rebbe said, he asked him, what happened? What was so striking about this meeting? And his friend said, well, my Rebbe asked me, where do you learn? So I said, well, there's a shul in the neighborhood. It's a small shul, and I go to the Beis Medrash there, so I can have some quiet, and I can learn there. And the Rebbe said to him, no, you must learn at home. And tried to explain why it's very hard for me. If I learn at home, the kids are around. There's a lot of noise, a lot of distractions. It's very hard for me to learn at home, and I need to be able to focus and to concentrate. But then the Rebbe responded, what is your guarantee that your children are going to grow up from? You're living in a community to do kiruv, so it's not as if there's a kol Torah throughout the community and there's limud Torah going on in all different aspects. It's just you. What is your guarantee your children will grow up from? They need to see you learning Torah. They need to see that you are setting the example. It's not enough that they know that that's what you're doing, and it's not enough that you teach them the lessons. They have to see you actually every night sitting down at the table, opening up a sefer, because it's what we do that has the biggest impact on our children. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, we should all be zoche to internalize this in our own lives, to see the example that we are setting for our children, for the future generation, to have a community at large that teaches the future generation of what real Talmud Torah is, of what real Shmiras HaMitzvos is. And through that, they themselves will become inspired to follow in our footsteps. Thank you and have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you for listening. Feel free to learn about all the programs that the Skokie Community Kol has to offer. For any questions, suggestions, or to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, please email us at info@skokiekol.org.